Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hi, folks. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. As you know, the announcement you just heard is really true. We talk to a lot of very, very fascinating people on these broadcasts, and we all just learn something. These are not supposed to be educational in nature, but they are. No matter who we talk to, we learn very interesting things. And this is going to be one of those days. I'm going to be talking to a gentleman who serves as a caregiver. And you know something, being a caregiver is not easy. It's a really tough job. I've read lots of books and I've interviewed other people who are professional caregivers. They help people who are debilitated in one way or another, and they just can't care for themselves alone, and they need help from others. And if they didn't have that help, they just couldn't survive. That's really what it comes down to. Our guest today, his name is Maurice Jordan. He's a resident of Los Angeles, a longtime resident of L.A., and it's a city I know very well. And I just want to point out, he has a wife who developed dementia, and he has been caregiving for her for a number of years. He's taking care of her. I mean, total care of her. It's tough. And there may be many others of you out there living like this situation where you have someone close to you in your family who has developed dementia or, you know, has a problem of one sort or another, so that they actually need help, and you're the one who's doing the help. I think we're all going to learn what it's like. If you've never heard anyone talk about what it's like to be a caregiver, I think you're going to find this very interesting. And I give Maurice so much credit for what he's being able to do and what he elected to do by helping his wife, who for 7 years now has really been somewhat debilitated. Let's bring him on. Maurice Jordan in Los Angeles, where, look, my phone tells me it's a cloudy day. You're going to get some rain, about 56 degrees. How about that, Maurice? Is that about right? Is that a good description of what it's like today in L.A.?
Yes, that's a pretty good description. And who says it doesn't rain in Southern California? We've had plenty.
Isn't that the truth? We don't want it to rain in Southern California. Anyway, you had enough rain in L.A. Let me talk a little bit. I thank you for taking the time to talk to us about your life and your situation with your wife. I mean, you know, you've had careers. I guess the most important thing most people want to know is when you have a family member and you're working. I guess, well, let me ask you this. Were you working for the last 7 years? Are you retired? What is your situation?
No, I'm still working, Doug. We had plans before dementia hit to semi-retire and travel. That changed once you got the dementia, so I'm continuous working. I've changed more careers than most people work in their lifetime, so I keep working. I'm doing a property management position right now for the apartment that I moved into, privately owned by a family, 6 buildings. So I take care of about 147 tenants, and I take care of Tessie.
Well, you know, that's good for you. And I know you've had a really very interesting career. Many people who if they live in L.A., at one point you were the chef at the Hillcrest Country Club. That was one of your first careers. I understand that's where you met your wife. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes, I was an executive sous chef at Hillcrest Country Club. I got there in 99. Tessie was already there in 97. I guess she was waiting for me.
she was waiting for you.
Yeah.
So
but
you
I,
fell
my
in
career
love?
Started in Boston. My career as a chef started in Boston as a dishwasher at 13.
I'll be doggone. Boy, you came up the ranks because Hillcrest is a great club. So you did that for many years. But let me tell you what, let me ask you, what happened? What was it like when your wife began to turn the road toward dementia? Did you realize it was coming on with her?
Well, not at first. Actually, she was still working when she started showing signs of dementia. And, of course, I was working, workaholic. My dad gave me, thank you, Dad. And she was, and she come home, and I noticed her in the kitchen, you know, walking around, and she never went to the kitchen. She never had to. And, you know, our marriage is based on you stay out of my kitchen, I stay out of the checkbook. Pretty simple. But she would take the trash out and not replace the bag, and I'd ask her, you know, little, hey, kind of, can you just put the bag back? Because I kept throwing coffee grounds, you know, boom, on the floor, paying floor fertilizer. So just little things like that. And then I started noticing that she wasn't putting makeup on. And I said, honey, just a little bit? She says, no, I don't need it anymore. I said, okay, that's fine. And then just went on from there. And before she actually retired, one of the gentlemen at the country club, he asked me if I noticed anything about Tessie forgetting things, stuff like that. And, of course, I said no, because you don't throw your wife under the bus. I said, it's CFO. But everybody knew. And then it just got, you know, it just kept getting worse from there on. And, you know, then you...
Did she go to a doctor and get diagnosed?
Yeah, eventually, yes. I'd probably say about 6-7 months later. Because when she retired, I didn't want to do anything right away until I actually knew what was going on. I wanted to, you know, let her side of the family know what was going on for a while. And I wanted to see if there was any change, anything. Then I finally went to our doctor and said, I think we have some issues. And sure enough, she was diagnosed. And
What did he tell you was going to happen? I just wonder how prepared for you for the way the situation developed with your wife.
It was very short. I don't exactly remember what happened at that, you know, at the words, but I just went in there and he went over. Everything's on the computer now, and he said, "Well, she has Lewy dementia, da 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 da," and you know, here's a couple of doctors I recommend. Maybe you can go see this specialist right here, neurologist, and if there's anything you need, just call me. And I don't even think I was really listening to him. I was just hearing words, and I said, okay, and I walked out of the office, and I got about right in front of the elevator, and I just fell down a side crying.
Okay. Do me a favor. Are you talking right into the phone? Talk as close as you – you're not on the speakerphone, are you?
Yeah, I'm on the speakerphone. You want me to take off
the phone? Yeah, turn the speakerphone off. I think we'll hear
if
you turn that off. I should have asked you before. That's getting better. The big question is, obviously, it got to the point where you couldn't leave her alone. Isn't that right? Somebody had to be with her for the most part?
Yes. Actually, it got to that point. She went down to get her hair cut one time, and this is very before she was diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
And she was driving back, and she called me up, and she said, I don't know where I am. And, you know, of course, you know, what do you mean you don't know where you are? You know, you get a little loud, you get a little boisterous. You've been doing, what's around you? She said, oh, never mind, I got it, I'll be right home. And I think that was the turning point, and I need to get her diagnosed. I need to find out what's going on. And, and she didn't drive after that. I took her everywhere after that and make sure that, you know, things were okay until I can find out what was really wrong.
So how was she acting when she began to, you know, really, when it began to get serious with her? Was she upset that she couldn't drive? Did she not know her way around in the house?
She's always been very quiet.
She was?
You know, she's always been very, very quiet. She's never boisterous. She's not loud like me. She's like opposite when it comes to that type of stuff. But, no, she... One time she did say to me, because I asked her something, she said, look, I'm having trouble with my memory. I know I am. And when she said that, that floored me. And that was even before I had her diagnosed. So between, you know, the what happened to Country Club, her forgetting where she was, and her saying herself, I know I'm having trouble with my memory, I think that made me realize even more so that we do have some big issues. And I think it was about 2 weeks after that I called our doctor and made the appointment to go in and talk to him. Then he gave me the doctor's name. We had it diagnosed, and it went on from there. But she's very quiet. Today she's very quiet because she hardly speaks at all. It's like she wants to.
I was
going to
say.
Lips moving. She wants
you've
to.
You've written that she eventually stops. She eventually stopped speaking altogether to you. How long did that take between when she was diagnosed And when she actually stopped talking
to you? About three and a half years, yeah.
How did you deal with her during that period? What was it like for you? And what did you have to do for her?
I think the first thing I had to do for myself was realize the situation I was in. You know, I realized the situation we were in, not me, but we were in, because we were in this together. And I think what I had to do is just find some way to observe her so I can see what's going on and try to stay one step ahead of her. You know, what is she trying to tell me? What does she need? And I do it that way. I do it with humor, you know, because, you know, I've always learned. In fact, my friend of mine, Rick, he mentioned one time that the poet, you can always, you know, people always remember, what is it? I got it right here. It's like you can always say, tell people, you know, how you feel. You can be angry with them. You can call them names. You do whatever you want. And they'll forget everything you said, but they'll never forget how you make them feel. You know?
Right.
So
right.
I remembered that from a long time ago, from a Toastmaster meeting when my buddy gave the speech. And so I knew I had to find some way of making her feel good, even after I, you know, blew up a little bit. Like, come on, put your sock on, because you go through that stage the first year, especially, you know. And we've come a long way together. We've come a long way. And we communicate through dance, through humor. She's never yelled at me, and I don't think she's raised a voice to me in 6 years. And it's, you know, it's good. And one thing she did do, though, when she gets a little agitated, she started mumbling stuff, and I didn't know what she was saying. I found out she was talking Tagalog, her native language, from the Philippines. And so I just kind of figured, well, at least she's talking. And that's how I try to get through things. We team up. Observation is the best thing. You know, you have to observe. You know, when you're living with your spouse or your loved one, you have to observe them more than you would if there's nothing wrong with them. So you can try to stay ahead of the game. And that's what we do. And consistency, I look at consistency as a way of keeping her in line with what she needs to do. So she's in bed by, 8:30 every night. She wakes up. I get her up at 7 every morning. We do the same thing, same time. I take her to a daycare, which we call her country club, a couple, three, four times a week. And they do the same thing there. They do the chair exercise. I have a exerciser for her at home. They dance there. Of course, we dance. I'm hooked up with USA Dance. I'm their treasurer for the LA chapter. So we go to a big dance once a month. And and we just live life. I just make believe she doesn't have dementia. I just kind of like look at her and realize that she needs help. And that makes it easier for me to accept the fact she has dementia, because when it really occurred to me, probably after the first year, I was devastated. Because you go through those five stages, denial, acceptance, and all that stuff, and everybody goes through it. And I'm just glad that I've had tools that I've learned along the way to know what was going on and to learn how to work the problem rather than try to fight it, because you can't fight it. And you can't argue with them, so you do things for them to make them feel that they're doing things themselves. And sometimes I do.
I understand you. You know, you've been put into the position where you help bathe her. You actually color and trim her hair.
Yes.
And you do her makeup often. Is that right?
Yes.
Good for you.
Oh.
Where did you learn to do that?
During the disco days, everybody went into the hair salon, right? Get the hair cut, blow dry, stuff like that. And a couple of friends of mine opened up a salon in Boston, in Charlestown, where I grew up. And so we go there, get our hair done, go to the discos and dance all night. So just observing that, I learned just by them watching how to comb the hair, brush the hair, all that stuff. And then sometimes I'd be sitting there and I'd be giving somebody a manicure while they're waiting to get their hair done. Not that I worked there. I didn't work there, but it was just fun to do. And I came to California at 23, had a lot of things to do because I wasn't working the first 6 months. I took a manicuring class just for fun. And I was a model in Boston for 2 years. I modeled in San Diego for 2 years, all for fun stuff. And by going doing all that stuff for fun, now I can actually put it to use. And I guess there's a reason why we do things, whether it be fun or prepare us for our next, you know, next career. So
I'm interested to know how
done for fun, and now I can use it all on Tessie.
Well, that's good. I'm interested to know how it changed your life when she really got fairly serious with dementia. Obviously, she had to stop working. It meant she wasn't going to be bringing any income in. And you realized, I'm sure, that, you know, you were going to have to be with her much of the time. And you say she goes to daycare. I didn't know if that started right away. But that's a big help if she does that. But it really changed your whole life, didn't it, when that happened?
Yeah, it did. It did. The one thing that helped me the most, and like I say, you know, sometimes things come out great that we don't plan. And the apartment building I live in, it's a 15-unit building. We moved here in 2009. And I met the owner, and that's how I found out it was owned by a family. And I had going to my office, Caldwell Banker in Santa Monica, you know, 5-6 days a week. And I thought, well, you know, the manager that moved me in was elderly. No, this gentleman, you know, he's not 40 anymore. So I wrote a letter to the family. I told them how nice the building is, how clean they keep it, and if Paula, the man, needed help doing anything, I'd be more than happy to help her. Behind that was my 5-year goal to become their manager if they needed one. And just as things always, you know, kind of seem to work themselves out, 5 years later, they knocked on my door and asked if I want to be their manager. And that was right at the time Tessie started showing signs of dementia. So I get to work from home.
That was a big help. Big help for you,
that
for sure.
That was a big help, absolutely. That was a big help, yes. And, you know, it took a tremendous amount of stress out of my life, knowing, you know, what am I going to do if I have to go to an office? Am I going to have to do this? Going to have to put it here? And then, you know, then there's a money factor. Can we afford to put it here? Do I want to put it here? You know, she broke an ankle bone last Easter, and she was in a facility for 3 weeks, and I couldn't pick her up and put her in the bed or anything like that. And, you know, after being in the facility every day visiting her, I never wanted to see her in a facility, you know. I mean, they did a good job, you know, rehabilitating her, but it's just a personal thing where it's like, you know, you see your wife in there with a broken ankle, and she can't get around. It's bad enough she can't get around, you know, can't think for herself. And now she has this broken ankle. So I was very glad when I got her home from that. But all those things take the factor of, you know, most adults are not prepared for having long-term care for themselves or their spouse. And this is where we get in trouble because we don't have the long-term care insurance that most people have. I wouldn't even say most people. I would say most people don't have it because they don't think of it when you're
I think you're
out.
Right.
I won't need that. That's for somebody else.
Yeah.
So we didn't have that, but we had the short-term care. And so, you know, that's helped me a lot with the daycare. And that gives me a chance, you know, 5-6 hours a day to run around and do what I need to do here. And I pick her up. I drop her off and I pick her up.
You know, I want to point out something. You've been a member of Toastmasters for a long time, and you've made lots of speeches in your days.
Yes.
I'm not quite sure what the subject matter you talk about is, but you are an aspiring speaker who would like to be able to speak to others and educate others about mental illness, especially dementia, and what it's like, and to teach them about it. That's something you'd like to be doing. Am I right about that?
Yes, that's my new goal. I set goals. I set 5-year goals normally.
Yeah.
And there's something I learned when I was at the Marriott Corporation. It's called wager fee. Where are you going in 5 years? And it always seemed to work for me. And yes, that's my next goal is to be a public speaker so I can make more people aware of the mental illness, mental health. And I mean, just look around us today. There's just so many distractions. People need to focus on their health so they don't get lost in the virtual realities, the games, the gangs, the protests, you know, all this stuff going on. It takes away from someone's focus sometimes. And then you have your family. Maybe someone in your family is not aware of it, but yet they have it. And so you can help do that. And everybody can be a caregiver to their family just by talking about health, whether it be physical health or mental health. But mental health is certainly an issue going on in this country today. And
there's no doubt about that.
Addressed.
Yeah. Let me ask, how do you communicate with Tessie? That's her name. If she doesn't talk to you or talk about how well can you communicate and get her to understand what you're trying to tell her, I guess? Is it difficult?
Well, that's the whole thing. I don't try to get her to understand. I just talk to her. Like, we'll sit here at night, you know, she likes to watch music. I have a lot of musicals now. And if I have something to say, oh, by the way, Tessie, that actor there, he used to be in, you know, blah, 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 the Alamo. And she'll look over and she'll go, yeah, yeah. Whether she knows or not, at least I'm getting her to respond to me that way. But now as time is going on, she's less responsive because she's doing more sleeping now. She's to the point where she'll just stare into space or look down at the floor. And that's all part of the disease. But I just talk to her like there's nothing wrong with her. And if I have a hard time if she doesn't want to get up out of a chair, I just take both her hands and I start at the beginning of My Girl, our anthem. And when she hears the beginning, bum, 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 she starts moving her hands. Next thing you know it, she's up, hugging me, and we walk into the room and do whatever we got to do. So we do that a lot. In fact, that's how the caregivers over at her daycare, country club, that's how to get her out of my car. Come on, Tessie, we're going to dance. And off she goes. So we communicate through dancing and through just regular talking, but her answers are just small and short. I get excited if she says one full sentence, like if I'm trying to get her in the car. I say, okay, lift up your leg. And she's like, yeah, I know, I'll lift it up. And, you know, when I hear that, it's like, oh, good, maybe she's cured. You know, in my humorous sense of brain I have. And but I know she's not. But it's good to hear that one sentence sometimes. And that's how we communicate. Dance, sing, humor. I keep her busy.
You know, you mentioned that you're a dancer and you're part of a dance group and that you take her out. You take her out to go dancing now? Is that correct?
Well, we just go to that one dance. We go out to once a month. There's a USA dance. We put on a dance in Culver City. So
right.
We go there. But the rest of the time we dance in the house.
But what's it like when you take her out?
If there's dancing, we'll dance there. If there's dancing going on, we're there.
I see.
She doesn't dance like she used to. She just like sways back and forth now. She her balance
right.
is not like it was.
So I get the point is you can take her out. You get in the car and drive somewhere and take her out. She gets outside and moves around, and she does that fairly good. Okay.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. It's good. She's getting slow. She's slowing down, but she's still doing it. Yes. We go down.
Yeah.
You know, we'll go down to Santa Monica Pier. We'll walk the pier. We'll go out to the park down here in the West LA Park, whatever it's called. Yeah, we do. And in fact, last September, I took her to Boston. We went to an adult prom.
My goodness. Thanks. You took her to Boston. Good
yes.
for you. Good for her,
yep.
you know?
Yep. Yep. My friend put on this adult prom because he'd never been to one. It was more of a charity fundraiser. We just themed it a prom. So I took her back there. And I felt I needed to because when she was in that facility for 3 weeks, she got more cards, more get-well cards in 3 weeks from all my friends back home and friends out here in 3 weeks, and I got my lifetime. And I was always in the hospital when I was a kid, played hockey. So, but, yeah, you know, I brought her back there, and it was a good time. It was I saw people I haven't seen in 40 years, so it was kind of like a reunion, and she had a blast. And we were crowned king and queen.
Good for you. So bottom line is, during your life, your normal life at home, you are the chef. Obviously, you are a chef, a professional chef. Now you're the one who plans all the meals. You do all of that, and you prepare for her.
Yes.
Obviously, right. She like what you're cooking? I guess she has to. Am I right?
Well, yeah, even for her dementia, I think that's why she married me.
Good for you.
Yeah, well, we have these make-believe wedding vows that we used to talk about. You know, you stay out of my kitchen, I stay out of the checkbook, and we live happily ever after. And it was fun because she was a very smart lady. You know, her first job in the Philippines, she worked for Occidental Petroleum. She was so high up on the list of workers, they used to put her on their helicopters and fly her out to the oil fields.
Wow.
And then she came here in the mid-80s with her family, moved up to Pennsylvania, started a travel agency, sold that after 12 years or so. She had a few hundred agents working for her throughout the country. And then she came here at Hillcrest just enough to get a foot in the door. And she left 21 years later as the director of membership. Very
good
smart lady.
So let me ask you a question. Obviously, life is difficult for her. What's it like for you? What's the day like for you? It's not easy, is it? I mean, when she has to go to the bathroom, you have to help her. You help her for most everything. Is that pretty much right, or not?
Well, as far as going to the bathroom, I have to change her. Yes. Sometimes I get up. Like I say, I try to be consistent. So I bring her in the bathroom every now and then, sit her down, and that works, more than not, actually. And getting up 7 o'clock in the morning, I know what to expect. Get her in there, take a shower, use the bathroom. So you kind of work it in, but then it only works for a while because then they change. Their body changes because their body's changing forever. I mean, we're getting older, but they're getting to the point where everything eventually is going to give away. So, yeah, it's tough, it really is, but I think what keeps me going is I had to realize about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, that we're in this, for the long term, and I had to find another way to love her because we fell in love the way, normal people you meet, you go out, you have fun, blah, 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 And I realized it was going to be very difficult. So I just found another way to love her by looking at her, every day in her eyes and realizing I have a child. So I need to love her like a child as well as my wife. And I think that makes the whole difference in the world. And,
no kidding. Yeah.
Someone said, she just find a different way to love her. And I said, no, not a different way. Another way, because if you find a different way, that means you forget about the first way. No, it's not different. It's just adding to what we have already. And
I think you put that very well.
Yeah.
I think you've got a very interesting message that could be very important to other people who are in your situation. And there are many other people, these days who would be and it could be in a situation like yours. How's the best way for people, someone to get in touch with you if they'd like to have you come give a talk? I understand that you have a Facebook page and they can get in touch with you over LinkedIn. Is that right? Would that be the best?
Yeah, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. They can Google Maurice J. Jordan and I'll come up there.
All right. You have to be in the L.A. area, obviously.
Maurice J. Jordan, it'll come up with a song for Eddie. There'll be a video there.
There you go.
And my Toastmaster speeches as well.
Good for you. Well, Maurice, listen, Maurice J. Jordan, that's who we've been talking about. He's a great guy, obviously. He loves his wife. He is taking care of her, and it's a big job. He is a caregiver and the ultimate caregiver for her. It's not easy. Maurice, thanks for taking the time to give us a little glimpse into what it's like for you. And we wish you all the best, okay? You're a true gentleman and a great person. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Doug.
You're very, very welcome. Good luck now. Good luck.
Same to you. Come visit.
Thanks again.
LA.
Okay, you got it. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, sir.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.